Oscar_Nick.
I grew up like most kids, worried I couldn't bench two plates, that I wouldn't fit in, that I wouldn't find love. Then I discovered partying, and suddenly all those worries went to the wayside. I didn't need love. I had keg stands.
At ESPN, Hooksy.
It's amazing. Wherever I set course records or whatever, I would be barefooted, drunk, playing golf, making every 20-footer I looked at. But if you get me sober, I wouldn't make a ball.
Now, back to the show.
Welcome to Greggeton Hooks. Again, a big thanks to Anthony Smith for joining us on the show. Man, what a good dude. I wish I could tell you guys, just sitting around BSing with him, just such a good dude. Like, I wish I could tell you the cool stories and the cool things. Mm-hmm. Just such a great guy. And it's cool to see someone who is so talented, so good at what he does, is so humble as well.
Yeah, and for me, like I was just saying, like, you've got a Nebraska native who's one of the best at what he does, man. And he was so humble about it.
Now we're going to go to the opposite end of that spectrum. We're going to bring on someone who's not humble at all. We're going to bring on Robin Washit, HuskerOnline.com.
He knows he's good.
Yeah, he knows he's good, and he'll tell you. What's up, buddy?
I'm glad that you're able to have the second toughest dude that's coming on your show in studio today. It's a big deal.
He's still driving around Lincoln. You be careful.
Yeah. He's listening.
What's up, my brother? How you doing, man?
Good. I like to think that you say the same things about me as you did for him after our interviews, where you just lament on how awesome I am.
I think if I remember right, yesterday, Hook said, I said we were going to have you on, you're a good dude, and he said, quote, yeah, but he's still a Giants fan.
Mm.
I'm pretty sure that was what
that's
we said.
That's not recorded.
I think it was, actually. It was during our show, Hooks, when we told people he ditched us for some show in Michigan.
Sometimes
or something.
You got to throw some stuff at to keep people humble.
I don't blame him. I'd do an interview with a show in Michigan over doing my own show.
Yeah.
Technically, that show didn't overlap. It was Fred Hoiberg's scheduling of practice. Media availability, that was the real issue.
Thanks, Fred.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Blame the mayor.
Wow, that's awesome. Not getting my vote next time, that's for sure. Man, that was fun, though, sitting in here. Robin, I text my wife. You'll get this, because I think you have the same issue I do. You're a little taller than me, though. But I text my wife the photo of us with Anthony Smith, and he and I weigh about the exact same amount. He's just 5 inches taller than me. My wife goes, boy, you look like a fire hydrant next to him. I was like, thanks, honey. I was like, thank you, sweetheart. Yes, I'm 5'10", 215,
like
all right?
Fire hydrant.
He's 6'3", 215. It's a little different fit, all right?
Nick, I cover basketball players for a living, so I'm used to being dwarfed by other men, especially like high school kids. That's the best. When you get kids that aren't even in college yet that stand over you like they're your dad.
That's why you try to get as many photos with easily as possible.
Right. Yeah, exactly. You know, I try to get... You know, like guys like Cookie Miller, you know, those are all my all-time favorites that I could actually look them in the eye and not feel like a child.
Yeah, I told her, I texted her back, I said, this is like the fourth time you've called me a fire hydrant. Could you stop that?
This week.
Quit peeing on me.
I don't understand. Like, I get it. I'm stocky, okay? Leave me alone.
Just say it. That's a good one.
Quit comparing me to objects.
Yeah, right? When I first got into the media, everybody used to ask me, like, if I played, I think it was wide receiver. Then one day Callahan thought I was a walk-on running back, which was the best day ever. And then now...
He confused you with Danny Woodhead, which is understandable.
He's athletic. I'm not. He's in shape. I'm not. It's all good. Now I get like, were you a walk-on linebacker one time or tight end? I was like, Jesus, what is happening to me here?
Yeah, your position keeps going more in the trenches as you get older.
What am I, Jeremiah Searles? Like, quit it. God.
All of a sudden you're going to be a backup nose guard.
Yeah, you know. Who was it, Caputo, that was like 5'8" and played center for us? That's who people will think I am soon. This will be good. Hey, Michigan State tonight, dude. I think you have Nebraska covering, if I remember right, on your prediction.
You did.
Well, it opened at 10, I thought. And so I picked them to go by 11, so I'm going to have to adjust my prediction.
It has moved quite a bit.
What is it now?
I want to say it's 12.5.
Okay.
That's a lot of points to move.
A lot of points.
In like a day.
4 hours.
I don't know, man. Like, is this team going to bow up and win this for Fred so he can dominate his child? Or how are we? What's the storyline we're looking for?
Well, it's actually like as lopsided as you would think it would be. It's really intriguing because of the Izzo-Hoiberg dynamic, that those guys are really similar in a lot of ways, like schematically and just like philosophically. And so like they both want to play the same way. They both have like a lot of the same just like concepts that they run. In fact, like last year, Fred said that and during the NCAA tournament, you know, he was out there, spent a lot of time with Michigan State because his boy was playing. And, you know, he actually gave Izzo a couple of plays that Michigan State used to beat Duke in that tournament game. So
you like him even more now, don't you, Hooksy?
Anytime I hear beat Duke, it's all about it, baby.
So, yeah, I mean, like, this is going to be a real just interesting dynamic. Obviously, Michigan State has a lot more horses to work with, and so that's why this spread is where it is. But, you know, just as far as, like, an X's and O's coaching standpoint, this could be a lot of fun just because of how similar these guys are and kind of what they want to do. But if Nebraska, they're so unpredictable. I mean, I thought they were going to lose by 20 at Maryland, and they almost won. And then I picked them to beat who they play last.
Wisconsin.
Wisconsin, and they lose by double digits. So I just sit here and say, like, I have any idea what's going to happen. I have no idea. I don't know what motivates this team and why they play inspired when they do and when they don't. But, you know, I guess with all the storylines surrounding this one, you would hope that there would be plenty of motivation for these guys to put together, you know, at least close to 40 minutes of good basketball.
Rob, when you look at the matchups, obviously, I mean, you know, like you said, Michigan State has a lot of horses. They are a pretty deep basketball team. Size-wise, we match up pretty well. And you talked about this in the article as well, and you're dead on with it, because you have a chance to see two of the most dynamic point guards in the Big Ten go at it tonight in Winston and Cam Mack. Tell me what you see in that matchup and how fun that one could be if it goes as we, you know, as Cam Mack. I mean, Winston's a good basketball player. Will Cam Mack live up to the bill for that matchup?
Yeah, I mean, that's another side storyline, too. The fact that not only are the coaches pretty similar, but those point guards are a lot alike in the way that they're kind of the pilot of the plane and run everything through them. And, you know, Cash is as good as it gets in college basketball. And, you know, Nebraska ideally wants Cam to be that same way before he's done here. But they're both, you know, like I said, they get the ball and they push it. And they push it fast. And, you know, basically they're the quarterback out there in every sense. And the specific dynamic is going to be, you have, you know, Cam, who is one of the most, you know, might not seem like it, but he's one of the most efficient point guards in the Big Ten Conference when it comes to ball security and assist distribution. His assist to turnover ratio is top two or three in the conference at like 2.4, plus 2.4, whereas Cassius Winston is, you know, right up there in the top two or three in steals per game. So that dynamic, I think, is going to be really interesting, just see how those guys play off of each other. You know, usually, you know, as a competitor, when you have someone that, you know, is ready to get in a race with you, you kind of up your game a little bit. So I'm wondering how playing a guy like Cassius fires up Cam, because, you know, these guys love these individual matchups, and that's about as good as it gets for Cam Mack.
Robin, I saw this awesome video where it looked like some people claimed you were startled. I think you were just jumping up to like be like, damn, that was awesome. But when Hunter Salas dunked that ball in your face, what was that like?
That was, yeah. I almost had to get up and walk out of the gym and just take a break. But, yeah, so like people were like, some people were like, it's just a dunk. Like, if you saw that in person, it was more than just a dunk. Especially at the Nebraska high school basketball level. Like, you just don't see that. Like, maybe if you go to watch an IMG Academy game, you see that every single day because they're loaded with five stars. But, you know, as far as a regular season Nebraska high school basketball game, Hunter Salas made some plays that just made you go, wow. And in that spotlight with, you know, basically almost every media outlet out there watching, you know, packed house capacity crowd at Millard North, he put on a show. And he looked really good. He lived up to every bit of the billing with, you know, eight different high major basketball teams represented with coaching staff or coaches there. It was fun to watch. And so, you know, Hunter's a five-star for a reason, and he showed why, especially with a dunk like that just – kind of makes your jaw drop a little bit because you don't see that very often.
I felt so bad for that kid guarding him because he gives him just one little move, boom, little push, and then he goes and dunks it over someone. Although I will say, as a man who has broken both of his ankles trying to dunk and landing on someone's someone's foot, every time he goes in there, I'm like, bro, let's go. You knock it off. Just wait, just let's get you to college, man. Like, I don't, you know, we don't need nothing crazy happening here.
The thing is that, like, those kids are, like, basically rubber bands with their joints. Like, the way that I've seen Hunter fall from, like, 8 feet in the air.
That's
and,
crazy.
Like, he just gets right back up. And that's what you can do when you're 17 years old.
Hey, will you do me a favor? Because I've had a lot of these questions coming in, and you are the expert to ask this, so I'm going to ask you. A lot of people around town, when we start talking Nebraska basketball, they'll say, so why is Williams good enough for Kansas and not good enough for Nebraska?
Not good enough for Nebraska? They wanted him to sign a letter of intent.
So what? So explain. Keep going then. Tell me what's going on here. How come he's going to end up playing basketball probably somewhere else instead of here?
Just what didn't work out. I mean, I don't know.
Is that what I'm going to be quoting you when I go to tell you?
We've rehashed this thing so many times.
I think Kansas is trying to get him because they want to try to get Hunter Salas. Am I wrong?
Yeah, I don't know why that would have.
Are they friends? I'm guessing they're friends. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if they like hang out. Like, well, they play against each other all the time. But like, anyway,
I thought you knew that stuff.
What it came down to, I mean, yeah, like I asked Hunter, and he says, you know, on the court we hate each other, off the court we're buddies, so, you know, whatever. The deal is that with Donovan, you know, he didn't commit to Fred Hoiberg. He committed to Tim Miles. And Fred Hoiberg didn't recruit Donovan Williams. He kind of inherited him. So when that coaching change happens, both were kind of just feeling each other out at first, and Donovan decided, you know, he wanted to play for Nebraska and was kind of excited about the prospect of playing for, you know, Fred Hoiberg and in that style of offense. But as things progress, and especially after that injury, you know, things just kind of faded a little bit to where, you know, Nebraska didn't know what they had in Donovan because they'd never seen him play. And, you know, Donovan was a guy that wanted to feel wanted, and you know, he didn't necessarily get what he was looking for as far as a relationship standpoint from the team. And so, you know, that relationship just kind of started to fade as time went on, and got time to sign in the November signing period, and Donovan kind of just bet on himself and said, you know what, I'm going to hold off. Nebraska's like, okay, cool, we're going to keep recruiting. They went and get Teddy Allen, and that was kind of that. And so they parted ways, and you know, it's just one of those deals where it just wasn't meant to be. You know, if Tim Miles is still here, Donovan would be a Husker. But he's not, and Donovan's not. And Nebraska feels really good about the former in-state player that they got instead. And Donovan's going to be in a situation that's going to be much more conducive to his college basketball future.
Well, that's exciting. Well, all right, you defunct my whole thing. Has he talked to Beeline yet about Kansas? That's the real question.
That's the question.
Yeah. We'll be honest. I'm sure they've exchanged texts.
Hey, Robin, stayed along the recruiting side there. Also, you were up there and you saw the 2022 prospect in Jason Green. There's a lot of talk about him. He's at an unofficial, I believe, tonight at Pinnacle Bank Arena. Also, a lot of talk because we all know the situation Nebraska's in with the number of scholarships they currently have, the number they're recruiting right now. There's some other kids out there. They're heavy on the Wisconsin transfer kid, possibly. And then the Witt kid out of North Carolina. Talk about those guys a little bit about what they could bring to the table for Nebraska.
Well, Jason Green, he's next. Like, we talk about all the guys like Hunter and Donovan and all those you know, top-level in-state kids. Jason Green's going to be right up there. From what I'm hearing, he probably will be ranked nationally in the next 2022 Rivals 150 because Eric Bossy, our national recruiting analyst, was actually up in Omaha last week to see the Bellevue West Millard North game, and he was really impressed with Jason. And so, you know, a lot of people kind of didn't really know who Jason Green was when Nebraska offered last summer, but they're going to know really quickly. It's funny because I saw Miller North's first game when they were here in town playing Lincoln High, and he was good, but, you know, he was a timid sophomore, you know, just trying to play up with a bunch of guys that already were either D1 commits or, you know, had high major offers. Well, now he's starting to get a little assertive. And, you know, there's a clip that I tweeted out.
Putback dunk.
Courtesy of 10-11, where he just goes up and over a dude with a one-handed putback dunk off a miss. For a sophomore to do that, that's pretty impressive. And he's already, like, you know, a legit 6'6", maybe 6'7". And he's not done growing yet. His dad was a hooper at UNO back in the day. And so he's got some genetics that he's just getting started. And so I would imagine this spring and summer, he's going to go play for MoCan Elite on the Nike EYBL circuit during the AAU season. He's going to get a lot of attention. And I'll bet you he gets at least a handful more high major offers. And so Nebraska was good or smart to get in on him right out of the jump. I know he's very interested in Nebraska, and obviously that relationship is continuing to build with him coming to campus again, tonight. And so, he's next in line. I mean, he's going to be a nationally ranked, in my mind, bona fide four-star player when all is said and done. And, you know, Nebraska, like I said, they were the first ones to extend an offer of any school in the country. So that's looking really positive there, but, you know, we'll see what happens. You know, he's still got two full years to play before he makes a decision. But as far as the other kids, 2020 right now, Charlie Easley, a scholarship only goes through the spring semester, so they technically have one spot to fill for 2020 as things stands right now. But they had Carter Witt, who's a 2021 recruit that they expect to reclass in 2020, on an official visit for the Penn State game. They're looking to set up in a visit with Adama Sanogo, who's a 2021 recruit, probably going to reclass in 2020. They're trying to get him on campus in the next couple weeks for an official visit. They have Kobe King, the Wisconsin transfer, who, considering the circumstances around his departure from Wisconsin, will probably be immediately eligible next year, and especially with the transfer rule changes that are really picking up speed lately. Mm-hmm. So he is probably going to come on an official visit within the next couple of weeks. So those are three 2020 recruits that not only are being recruited, they're coming to Lincoln on official visits with one spot to fill. So that kind of leads you to believe that, as we expected, there will be attrition, and there'll probably be a couple spots available when all is said and done. And so those are the guys that we know of right now. There's a couple other junior college guys and maybe lesser-rated high school kids that they're still recruiting. But I would imagine they'll get a guard for sure. They will take one more guard with this 2020 class. And then I really like their chances with Adama Sanogo. He's a 6'9", 250-pound, four-star, top 50 center. So all you people that are worried about Nebraska never recruiting bigs, there you go. And so if they can get a guard and they can get Adama, I would imagine that whatever spots they have available after that would go to a sit-out transfer or two, because they always want to have, ideally two of those in the bank every single class.
Man, so what you're saying is people need to go to these games and make sure they're cheering loud, being crazy.
Yeah.
Be important.
Yeah. If one thing you can get out of this season, it's impressing the guys they're trying to build around for the future.
Nice. Hey, I wanted to ask you, how much did you get yelled at for ESPN saying Nebraska was a top 25 team? Because I know we did.
We got lumped together with the hype train. And what people need to understand is that is the Nebraska bump, what they call it, as far as the number of clicks and views and listens and downloads and all that stuff, it is a real thing on the national media. Like, if you put Nebraska in some sort of headline and even make it relatively controversial, you're going to get a serious boost in just what's the word I'm looking for? Engagement. Engagement. So, whenever you see stuff like that, realize that's what's happening. You're talking about a Nebraska team that is just trying to go to a bowl game, and now you're throwing them in, this could be a top 25 team. The
top 10 offense, baby.
Yeah. It's like,
get some.
Just stop. You know what? I think the good news is most fans understand what's going on right now, and they're at a position now where they're tired of hearing this stuff. And they want to see tangible, realistic proof that this thing is actually going in the right direction before they fully buy into the hype and start chugging Kool-Aid. So, it's not unusual. It happens every off season because it's a slow time of year and Nebraska fans are going to click on anything with their team in it. But you just got to take all that stuff for what it is and understand that this team needs to prove a lot before that type of hype gets thrown around.
Check back in with me in like July and let's see if the fans are still feeling
that. Yeah, let's figure out who the starting quarterback's going to be before we start talking about
it. It's going to be Adrian Martinez.
I know it is, but we don't officially know that. We don't know what the offensive line's going to look like. We don't even know what this offensive coordinator looks like. We don't know what
the offensive coordinator
is going to look like. Yeah, so like let's at least see this team practice for one practice, and we're not even going to see that. So like, you know, it is what it is. Just understand that it's all about the Nebraska bump.
That's no, because if it weren't for that, instead of 12 listeners, we'd only probably have nine.
Nine.
Let's be real. Like,
you guys are just like swimming in cash off this.
Yeah. I know, right?
Hey, Robin, speaking of football a little bit, something that's kind of gone unnoticed with Nebraska in football is Jonathan Rutledge was hired as the special teams analyst.
There you go.
Yeah, shout out to Sean Callahan for breaking that on Friday.
Yep, boom pow.
It's been quiet, though.
Nice.
It is quiet. I mean, because it's weird, because it's an analyst, not a coach.
Yep.
An analyst, so we don't even know exactly like how that's going to work, but in theory, that guy, Rutledge, will handle the bulk of the week-to-week game planning and organization of special teams. And maybe more importantly, with how much the staff tries to utilize special teams with the four-game redshirt rule, now all of a sudden, all your full-time guys don't really need to deal with that much. That's because weird. You have a guy who's organizing that. And when you take into account all the stuff that the staff, the full-time coaches, already have to do with their respective positions and organizing game plans for their side of the ball and recruiting and all that stuff, having that off their plates will be a huge boost for all 13 of those full-time guys. And so as far as on-field instruction goes, the analyst can't do anything. Mm-hmm. I mean, by NCAA rule. So they're still going to have to devote practice time with those coaches to, you know, teaching the game plan on the field, but the game plan will already be put in place. You know, they don't have to stay up till 4 o'clock in the morning figuring out their kickoff coverage strategy because they have a guy now that's you know, making pretty decent money to do that for them.
Robin, watch it, my brother. I appreciate it. Have fun tonight watching the game. I hope you got in at 12 and a half, so you got the cover.
Double down.
I gotta change my score prediction.
Yep. Update.
All right, buddy.
Thanks,
appreciate
Robin.
You.
See you guys.
Robin Washit, good stuff. We'll take a quick break. Hour number two on the way.